Welcome to Security Heroes, a podcast by Athena Security. We share real-life stories to help connect you to real heroes in the security world. I am your host, Lisa Falzone. Warning, the following recording contains potentially disturbing content. Listener discretion advised. Joining me today is Todd Miller. Todd is the Systems Vice President of Security at SSM Health, handling security operations and officer training for 23 hospitals. Todd previously served in the St. Louis Police Department and the FBI Gang Task Force, where he received multiple commendable performance awards before transitioning to SSM Health, where he oversees everything from security policy implementation to risk assessment and management. Todd, thank you for joining us today. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. It's awesome to be here.
Yeah, really excited to talk to you. So tell me, how safe are hospitals in 2024?
Well, I think it's a broad question. I think they're getting safer. And what I mean by that is I think we've had a lot of reasons to become safer in the past, probably 4 or 5 years, obviously with COVID. I think, in the past, hospitals, schools, churches were sacred spaces. We really didn't have the same security posture as we do now. So all of a sudden, COVID happens. We're seeing a rise in workplace violence. Mm-hmm. And I think kind of a wake-up call for the industry, right, to say, what are we doing to get better in our security posture? So I would say if there's a healthcare system that hasn't done security improvements post-COVID or during COVID, that would be a big surprise.
Right. So talk to me about some of the improvements you guys have done, if you can.
Yeah, I think a lot of it just comes down to pretty, back to the basics type stuff, crime prevention through environmental design. What are we doing for our post-risk assessments? Are we looking at improving workflows, processes, passive security, active security, doing more visitor management, weapons detection, even improving the quality of video, integrated access control, radio. Like, there's a lot that has been done, I think, just to not only, again, combat workplace violence proactively, but get a better hold on who's coming to the facilities, how are we tracking them? And then again, just re-looking at what our role is. I think a lot of the time when people looked at what security was 10 years ago, it was more like a static post, traditional quote unquote security, if there is such a thing. And then all of a sudden there's this, for healthcare, there's a greater need for security teams to be kind of part of the care team, like putting hands on patients. You're working directly at the front line with clinical staff and de-escalations. And that has changed a lot of the way we operate. A lot of the policies that we do or that we enacted and some of the processes that are within those policies to just provide, again, for safer environment. And letting our clinical care workers do what they come to work every day to do, which is provide patient care.
Yeah. Do you have any measurable results that you can point to and how you made, the hospitals safer?
Yeah, I can kind of speak generically that for us as an organization, it wasn't any one particular thing that we did. Mm-hmm. Kind of a sum of all parts with, again, environmental design, security technology, process, even de-escalation training, identifying patients that were more risk or prone for violence against our staff. All those things collectively, we've seen a decrease for SSM over the past 3 years in physical assaults on staff, which is
awesome. Yeah,
I think a bit different than we've seen nationally as a trend. And a decline in our DART rate, so days away, restricted transfer. So more of the, I would say, the more severe injuries that keep a staff member away from work because of injury. So for us, that's been a big driver. And again, it's showing that each one of those particular components is helping drive that workplace violence trend downward rather than upward. We still are seeing externally.
Yeah, well, nice. Well, congratulations. What's the secret to managing security for 23 hospitals at once?
Wow. I would say, kind of sounds cliched, but operationally, it's hiring a good team and being very choosy who you're bringing into your security program. Having the people that you can trust to literally go in day in, day out, make the hard decisions, make the right decision, hopefully. That's a big part of it. I think if, you know, we were to say that all roads pointed to me, that's completely inaccurate. In our organization chart, we've got great layers at every single level. So it's, you know, not having to worry about everything at the very, very baseline level, but being able to operate effectively in my position in a more strategic manner. And then as you kind of go through the organizational chart, it gets more tactical, and making the right decisions on those levels prevents panic, anxiety, stress, all the above for some leaders. I think programmatically, probably really working together to find out what is best practice. So if we have four states we operate in, and really talking to each of the leaders in the beginning, right, and saying like, what's working? What is best practice? Where are you seeing results? And instead of having all these siloed programs regionally, coming together and building standards. Again, sounds cliched, sounds cheesy, but you know, building a standard and finding out what the best practice is that supports it and implementing it and sticking to it. That to me is probably one of the bigger secrets of successfully running a hospital system at all levels.
Awesome. So you have a very impressive background. You've been a police detective, a federal officer, and now a security leader. Which felt most dangerous on a day-to-day basis?
I'd have to go back to fresh out of the academy as a patrol officer. I think a lot of the times, you know, as you go through the, you know, different positions like detective and federal task force, you know, there's a lot of really fun, exciting work that's done on those levels. And having done some of a lot of that, it's great. But the person to me that is at the most risk is that patrol officer. And I just remember the feeling of, you know, you get a call with limited information. You're walking into an unknown situation with people in crisis, or even just walking up to a car in a car stop where your gut's telling you something is off.
Right.
Kind of your own critical thinking skills to help you out of the situation if it goes bad. You're at your training to do the same thing. So I think a lot of it to me, when I think back about what was probably the highest risk, maybe I didn't realize at the time because I was younger and I probably thought I was invincible to some degree, was just a patrol officer. You know, still my hat goes off to those guys and gals out there. They're still fighting the good fight at that level.
Totally. Can you tell us about a specific high stakes situation where you or someone on your team had to be the hero?
Yeah, and I think it's I don't know if it was a hero. It's an unfortunate incident because again, a life was lost, but just again, as a patrol officer conducting a pedestrian check with my partner at the time and having it go bad, essentially a guy pulling a gun and shooting at my partner, shooting at myself, and having to unfortunately discharge my firearm at the same time and stop the incident. That was probably one of the more nerve-wracking, high-stakes situations. And I think just kind of that realization that it's not a game and your life's at risk. That's an eye-opening experience. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. How has your background with the police and FBI impacted your role at SSM?
Wow. I would say kind of the transferable skill set that's hard to teach. And I think you got to go through experience to get it is just the ability to kind of stay calm. You know, when you've been a police officer and you've seen a lot of things and you've dealt with a lot of hard situations, it's interesting coming into an environment like a hospital, which is a little more controlled. And, you know, a high situation or high crisis situation in a hospital is a lot different than a high crisis situation on the streets or maybe higher risk for injury or death or something like that. So I think just the ability to be calm and manage a situation. I can remember one of the first situations I dealt with, somebody literally said to me, how can you stay so calm? And I didn't get the feelings of nervousness because I'd seen worse. And then kind of sit there and say, well, if I bring emotion into this, then or panic, it's not going to bring resolution any faster. So that's probably the biggest thing I've brought over.
What does your average day look like at SSM?
Well, I come to work, and I think a lot of times people don't realize that, like, you know, healthcare never stops. There's no weekends. There's no off business hours. It's continual, right? So it's just, you know, you're always catching up. For any time away from work, you're catching up. Mm-hmm. And I'm different from, again, a lot of other industries. So I come in and I open my email and you see everything from the night before. And you, like any other probably industry, you prioritize what needs to be done now, can wait, get to later. And then I take my plans for the day that I had and I just drop those straight in the trash right off the bat. And then I go back to my list of priority emails, attending a lot of meetings on design construction. I think that's, again, something that post-COVID,
right,
redesign going on in our environments. So even just doing a lot of work with our design and construction team, who's amazing here at SSM, touching base with our team members, you know, what did happen in the other regions overnight. Again, right now we're building a new hospital. So a lot of our time is dedicated to what that entails, which is a big lift for everybody involved.
Right.
And then at the very end of the day, whatever that hour is, finally getting to the emails that you had prioritized first in the beginning of the day. And hopefully like crossing one off your list. That sounds about right.
Okay, cool. So one of your big accomplishments at SSM has been purposeful rounding. Can you talk a little bit about that? And like, what does it mean exactly?
Yeah, I think purposeful rounding has probably been one of our more successful programs, just because for us, it was establishing like a concrete line of bilateral communication with our nursing staff. Mm-hmm. And just kind of understanding what is going on the unit as much as we possibly can get, as much information as we can get. So mm-hmm. when you think about, you know, hospital kind of being like a small community, high risk areas, low risk areas, a lot of what we look at now is data driven. Even from like the night before or during the day, what's happening on the unit? What is our data telling us? Are there any high risk patients on the floors? Did we have an incident that we need to pay more attention to? So it's a concrete rounding program that lets us, one, prioritize where we should be, you know, aligning our resources with strategic priority throughout the day, and then making sure we're communicating that nursing staff. So just touching base with a floor nurse, touching base with a leader, just saying like, tell us, you know, how's the floor today? You know, is the problem that we had last night still a problem? Do we have anything that's starting as far as somebody escalating that we need to be around more? And then bringing that information back to the department and sharing it. And then that process never stops. So especially if it's something that's workplace violence related, even just looking at it and saying, you know, do we need to put something in our workplace violence pass down log to tell every shift, like, this is a room, this is a situation that we need to focus on to prevent either a person from escalating to the point of physical violence, or have they already committed some sort of physical violence and we want to prevent a secondary victim. So that's again, that goes on in perpetuity and never stops. That's been a big success for us. And again, just building relationship with our clinical staff is an outcome that it's positive as well. Just the ability to have that relationship and rapport
for
all your team. So it's helpful in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So how do you go about getting that data that you're talking about?
I think a lot of it comes back to if there is an event or if there is something we need to be aware of, having some sort of database to draw that information from. So one, are staff reporting being verbally harassed? Are they reporting being touched low level assaults? You know, in the past, the kind of the idea was like, getting yelled at is kind of part of the job in healthcare. Mm-hmm. It's not. And just saying like, that's not okay. It's not part of the job. Please escalate that to us. Because if we have that information, that data, that's something we can do to proactively get in front of that person, escalating from verbal harassment to, you know, a violent act. So whether it's through a debrief process after an event, or whether it's through proactively reporting it when it's just starting, having that database to draw from. We have a really good team here in our employee safety and you know, that's built a wonderful platform just to literally look like every day and go, what has happened or is currently happening that we can draw from that information, we can draw actionable intelligence. Like, this is what we can derive from here, from this, to say what we're going to do today, like purposeful rounding. Again, just it's all just one big intel circle, if you look at it that way.
Yeah. How much of good security happens in the planning stages?
Well, the majority. Again, I would say that, you know, planning is proactivity. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking about, you know, a security program being good and only being reactive, I think that'd be a hard thing to do. So if you're going to, you know, it's like the book Left of Bang, you know, if you're on the left side of the incident, if you're on the proactive side of the incident, you can figure out what to do by planning in front of things, like, you know, doing risk assessments, redesigning your environment, training, education, all those things that prevent the incident from happening. To me, that's what makes a good security program. That's what drives positive results instead of being the response mechanism after something's already happened.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned you guys are opening up a new hospital. What kind of like security planning are you guys doing for that?
Oh, I'll, more than we've ever done. I think when I look at what our objective is, and anybody on the team, they've heard me say it ad nauseum. I said, I want to build the safest hospital in the United States. It's a pediatric hospital. So one, we have to. Two, we're designing from the ground up. So we have no excuse not to. And when you get the right people at the table looking at every stage, you know, from planning to drawing design, SDs, all that wonderful stuff, and getting all the stakeholders at the table, to me, that's how we designed the safest hospital in America. And I like the fact that organizationally, I brought to the table, what architects do we have, or do we have a resource to draw from that have been SEPTED certified? So we brought on a partner, HFG out of Kansas. They're a healthcare architectural group, and they are working with me directly because they're all SEPTED certified. Mm-hmm. So I would love to think that I know enough to do it by myself, but having other eyes on the project and again making sure we reach our goal has been a big step for us, and it's been awesome partnering and saying, like, you know, are there any ideas we haven't thought of here? And looking at it through their lens of architects that have crime prevention through environmental design certifications.
Awesome.
So that's something that I can see becoming the standard more and more, is having that level of scrutiny through every single part of the design stage. And so that's one of the things, just environmental design. The other things that are really looking, again, for the proactive security technology measures. How are we designing our environment to funnel people past cameras, through weapons detection systems, past visitor management stations, and really that collective program as all being part of this, just again, the overall safe hospital environment.
Yeah.
That's a lot of what we're focusing on.
Awesome. So any particularly memorable major incidences at one of your hospitals where you felt like you dealt with it heroically, or like one of your team members dealt with it heroically?
I hate to go with a cliche response here, but I'm going to kind of go for the team trophy in COVID. To me, when you see those like heroes work here signs that were popular during COVID, and it was for the healthcare workers, that couldn't be more true when you just think of the fact that whether security or clinical, I'll just kind of look at it from the security perspective. When you have to go to work and working 8, 10, 12 hour shifts, depending on what we were doing at the time. And one, you just have to wear a mask the whole time. Like, people are like, wear a mask at work. Most people work 8 hour days. We're working extended hours. We were filling gaps because of illness, all these things. And just wearing a mask, it's a daily frustration, or was a daily frustration, and donning and PPE when going into certain areas just was one stressor. And then you add in the fact of you're getting guidelines on a virus that was unknown at the time, an illness that we had no idea how bad it was going to get and the impact. And for us, it did get bad. Now you're looking at, well, we're going to restrict guidelines based on CDC. You know, we're going to, restrict visitors. Because of the CDC guidelines. And now you're having people that are coming in to see their loved ones, and we're trying to enact those safety protocols for their patients, for their loved ones. And so we're maybe saying like, hey, you can only have one person at a time in the room. And that was a foreign concept to a lot of people. And then you politicize the whole thing.
Right. It's
nice. Still having to deal with those frustrations, the workplace violence that stem from it.
Right. And
still, the next day, get up and go to work for more. You know, it's like, it was like every other week there was something new that we had to adapt to, or another problem that we had never dealt with before in the U.S. as a, you know, dealing with a pandemic. And you just it was constant adjustment and have the mindset of, I'm still going to come to work. I'm working one of the hardest security industries there are, which is healthcare. And then you're going to constantly have all these changing rules day to day and still want to come back. Mm-hmm. Again, it sounds cliched, but the team gets the win on that one. Because it was, I can imagine doing a lot of the things that were being done on the front line day after day after day and not just going like, nope, I'm just going to go be a security officer at a bank. Yeah, like that sounds a lot easier right now. Or not just quitting altogether like we saw a lot of our clinical staff do. So I'm going to give the win to the team on that one.
Did you have any idea when you went into healthcare how much security was an issue?
No. And I can remember the first incident that I dealt with in the ED, emergency department, where there was an escalated patient. I think they're high or drunk, one or the other. And there was three officers, a couple clinical staff, and they're all trying to put on medical restraints. And the guy was kicking, punching, spitting. And I remember it was the first time I responded. And I literally said to myself, like, whoa, this is not hospital security that I thought it was going to be. This is different. And then seeing what happens in a behavioral health unit day after day after day.
Right.
It was a surprise. And our hats off to our officers and our clinical staff that deal with those things and then wake up and come in for more, you know?
Yeah. I had no idea that health, like before we got into this, you know, when we were getting into this industry, I thought, you know, schools, I thought, you know, government buildings, I had no idea, you know, healthcare was such an issue. So it was a surprise for me too. So in closing, if you could pick one most important thing hospitals can do for better security, what would it be?
Be proactive. Risk assessments are a form of proactivity. Being thorough in your risk assessment, getting frontline staff feedback, you know, asking the question, where do you feel least safe when you're at work, is a great question, because they'll tell you the light that's out in the parking lot. They'll tell you the blind corner in the behavioral health unit. All those things are absolute gold when it comes to what our staff see every day and deal with or make them look over their shoulder. And again, we want to take that feeling away from them, that feeling of being safe so they can focus on the patient. And just the idea that a risk assessment never stops. You know, when we think about some of the regulatory requirements we have for an annual risk assessment, that's fine, but just a point in time. You know, what is there the day that you finish that assessment can change the next day.
Yeah.
And so having that kind of infinite risk assessment mindset that this is, we're just doing kind of markers throughout our year or years where we do maybe a more thorough top to bottom, but really just doing a thorough risk assessment that never stops, getting staff buy-in.
Real-time risk assessment.
Yep. Never stopping.
Hey, well, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it, Todd. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Lisa.
Security Heroes is brought to you by Athena Security. To find out more about Athena Security and how we help save lives through our weapon detection solution, visit www.athena-security.com. And then make sure to search for Security Heroes in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. Make sure to click subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at Athena, thanks for listening.